Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Tell about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove between the demo and the ready room. Hey, come out Friday, June 3rd. There's a whole new shipment of vinyl coming in. New records from Panic at the Disco, Mavis Staples, Elliott Smith, Ray LaMontagne, Lake Street Drive, Tame Impala reissues, Motley Crue reissue, Pink Floyd, Paul Simon, and all kinds of stuff going on. So if you want a full listing of this, check out the event on Facebook or musicrecordshop.com, and you can check that out. So yeah, and then Friday, June 3rd, I mentioned there's free Four Hands beer going on. They've got record spinning and 10% off any purchase. So they do this all new music happy hour every Friday. So come out, check those out, and be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive deals all the time. And also be sure to check out their always growing local music selection. Check out the shelves over there. They've got tons of great CDs, tapes, and vinyl of some of your favorites around town. And if you want to get your stuff on the shelves, be sure to reach out and ask them about how you can make that happen. Again, follow them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Jeremy from the Random Ass Podcast. You're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Hopefully you're listening to me on it. So like and share.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, what's up everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 228. Coming to you from St. Peter's, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with Jeremy Bohannon.
You got it right.
Yeah, look at that, man. Welcome to the show, man.
This is Studio Bohagen, if you're keeping score at home.
Yeah, nice little man cave down here. We got, if you're playing along at home, this will be part two.
Mm-hmm.
I was recently a guest on the Rapcast, the Random Ass Podcast, a little bit ago. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun hanging out. This is kind of part two of that. We're going to flip the mic around and get to know a little bit more about Jeremy and how they got going. And so, yeah.
And I like to think that, like, with all sequels, you hope sequels are good. But I think we're going to be greatly improved because, we dropped the dead weight. I mean, Bender's not here. My co-host is not here. He's got a family life. Wife is, I'm not going to go so far as to call Rachel the boss. In fact, you'll never hear us say a bad thing about her anymore because she really took it to heart when we would talk bad on her. But, no, John had to bounce out. But, no, it was a good time. I wanted him here because you've been podcasting for a long time.
Yeah.
John started it with me. He was the first person I thought of in the area. And even though he's not as, I don't want to say committed, that's bad. It's a bad way to look at it. There's negative connotation saying you're not committed to something. But because he can't commit due to some time constraints with the family and stuff, he's every other week. He's what we call, the Nerdist has hostfuls. And that's when Matt, Jonah, and Chris are on. We have fully hosted or fully loaded. So when me, him, and Tom, who, we can talk about Tom later. So that's the podcast.
Right.
The interview with you, which will probably air tomorrow, which is what's the date today?
This is the 31st.
So the 1st would be when one of yours goes up. Like special things, he may not always be there for, but he is definitely in my heart. He's my co-host.
Yeah.
So
I had I've told the story, but I started the show with my buddy Chris, but after Chris left, my friend Jimmy sat in on a bunch of them. And he was essentially my fill-in co-host when he could, and the same thing kind of with Bender. Like, he was always there when he was able to make it, but, obviously there was times where he couldn't. So,
I did it but by myself then, and that it's just kind of got to the point where when I renamed the show, we used to go by Rock Paper Podcast with Chris and Shane. I dropped all that and I just went by
Rock Paper. That was a mouthful.
Yeah. Well, it was more
the byline.
Yeah, like so it was always but after that I was like, I don't want to put any name on there. I don't want to be Rock Paper Podcast with Shane. I just wanted to be the show, and if I happen to get a co-host in the future, like we don't have to worry about changing anything. It's like,
well, and so. That's kind of why we did. I guess we could hit on Tom. We actually absorbed Tom or brought Tom in. Tom was just a co-worker of John, and I point because he usually sits right there. It doesn't work for a podcast, but
I get a lot of people wave at the mic.
Hey, yeah, hey, how's it going? Well, Tom just he was chomping at the bit to come on. We let him come on. I don't know what it was about Tom. I like the guy. I can tell you he's a likable guy, but I don't know what. He just really, really fit. He gelled real well, yeah. And in my opinion, or in my mind, it was like, well, I guess I'm just going to unofficially say that this guy is the, because he came on a couple episodes. I asked him to come with me to do an interview with the Improv Shop's GM, Andy Slowey, and I was like, well, the three of us are married with kids. It's easy to come up with excuses on why we can't go do something, one of us, but it seems that the odds of any two of us being able to do it. Now, that said, we talked about this on my episode. It is my show. I mean, I bought all the equipment and stuff, and that's really the only entitlement for it to be my show.
Yeah.
And this is now the second time, both to you, I've said that it's my show. But I can always have one of them, and they both work real well. I mean, we get along. I don't know Tom outside doing the podcast, but I already consider the guy a friend.
Sure.
So, you know, that's why we added him. So, you know, so my podcast is me, John, and Tom.
Yeah.
That's it. But you've seen more locations with Tom. Well, I think it's equal now. But, yeah, we've been on someone's podcast, John's been with me. So that's what we are, man.
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, like you said, we're the random ass podcast. We talk about some random stuff. I mean, we're all over the board.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, man. I enjoy the show. I think we have a mutual friend, Johnny Applepex.
I don't know that guy.
Yeah.
I used to know him. Then he fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with his show. But he's another local podcaster, the Johnny Applecast. And I was on his show a while back. But I think that's when it all just kind of got rolling. Like, he was he suggested checking out your show that he... And so I started listening, and I enjoyed as well. And I like the intro music for sure. That old hip hop kind of feel to it.
The most introverted, non social guy you'll know. One of my best friends. As loyal as a friend I get is Dusty. He was my roommate. He became friends with him because when I was working for a certain store, and they have stores around here now, basically a pop culture store. In Kansas City, he was an employee of mine in Springfield, and when I moved to Kansas City, I took him with me as my assistant manager and my roommate, and he's always been I don't know if he's a good musician or not.
Yeah.
I've heard him bang on his drums, on electric drums upstairs when I was downstairs, but, you know, when you're just hearing it through the floor, you don't know if it's good.
Yeah.
I don't know what is, but one day he's like, hey, I did a theme song.
Yeah.
And he sent it over a rough one, and even the rough one sounded almost as good as that one. And he's like, I'm going to do a couple things. I asked him to change one thing, and there was an F-bomb early in it. And while we cuss, we have no problems with it. I felt like in the first 10 seconds of the show, you did not have to drop an F-bomb.
Right.
He took it out and changed it. And I tell you, if there's one thing people take away from our show, we got a good intro.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with that.
Sure.
I mean, that's got to have a hook.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mine, we started ours, like, in Chris's basement. We grabbed the mic I was telling you a little bit off mic. We grabbed the mic the first day at Best Buy. We went down to the basement. We started, we actually knocked out the first episode. And then, you know, we were thinking we got to do some kind of little jingle of sorts. We're fans of Nerdist.
Yeah.
And we, you know, it's like, well, you know, that's just like a 8-bit kind of a video game thing. You know,
That band's name? That's a real band. That's their shtick is
right.
that music.
But it really can be anything.
Easy.
Like, yeah.
It's easy.
So I was like, I had this idea one day. there's another podcast I listen to as Matt Bronger. He's a comedian.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and he does a podcast called Ding Donger with Matt Bronger. And that's really all he does is in his theme song is Ding Donger with Matt Bronger. And I'm like, man, it can, you know, really, this intro can be like anything you want it to be. So just a little placeholder. So I had this idea, this like record scratch thing, and that's where it all kind of came from. That rock paper podcast, y'all,
and
like,
and that's
so,
you, right?
Yeah, it's just me on the mic, and Chris did a little beat to it, and like made it what it is. And it's like, man, it works. You know, it's like it's worked 200.
Got to have a good wrapper in any products. Got to have good packaging. Right. And that's first thing that they hear.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I did one another one kind of a extended version. Again, my friends are a bunch of musicians, and we started goofing around one day, and we improvised like a song parody to Backstreet Boys.
Oh, man.
That I Wanted That Way.
Yeah.
And like, and we on the fly, we improvised like the lyrics to it about the podcast. And like, so it was like something like, you know, this is rock paper.
I mean, you know, come on. We just talked about this recently.
Yeah.
Everyone hated, well, most guys I know hated on a time, but now that we're older, how great was the boy band Cray?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a reason those songs were as popular as they were, because they're super catchy and they get stuck in your head. And, but yeah, not like, so that all started just because Pat played that guitar riff. So it was like, we started laughing and we ran with it and like, kind of became a more of a, you know, inside joke, essentially. Yeah. Not a lot of people really know the, you know, why it's funny, but it's funny to me, so I ran with it a long time. But it is a little long for an intro, so I kind of cut it, for especially if somebody's listening for the first time and they're like, what the hell is this? You know, so. But yeah, it was fun. But it's neat to have those talented friends that can kind of help along, drop in those things.
Well, like I said, Dusty, the thing that's so, I mean, I can't stress to people enough, and he'll listen to this. I'll link this, spread this, and he'll listen to it. So it's not an insult. He's not going to get upset. He knows he has some issues when it comes to being social. Like, sometimes you have to twist his arm or remind him that he does need to be around people. I mean, you know, he can blink and 3 months goes by and he didn't have any human interaction. He works from home for his company he works for.
Yeah.
But he put himself out there and created, I call him the Dean of Rap because his last name is Dean.
Yeah.
DJ YT or DPD. I mean, he's got a... I love it. I mean, the fact that it's one of my good friends and it's somebody that has a world of talent in them that usually is unwilling to share it, took it upon themselves to do it for me and share it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big. Yeah. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think he's alone, man. I've done enough of these, and I kind of touched on it. But it's like you get to talking to enough of these creative people, and there's a lot of them that have you know, social anxiety or whatever. You know, it takes a lot for them to get up there and even step on the mic and do it on stage and stuff. And that's why I feel like that's kind of the beauty of YouTube and things. So many people have gotten a chance to get a little taste of exposure without even leaving their bedroom and stuff. So
you may have saw this, I'm 38. I'll be 39 in November. My absolute pie in the sky dream is to one day get in front of Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith, a comedian slash drinker named Zane Lamprey, and Dan Harmon is basically the genesis, or they're the reason I wanted to do podcasts. I wanted to. So when Kevin Smith was at Helium a month ago, I super stalked him all day. Wow. Trying to get him on. I think it was 36, 37 tweets to him, I think I counted, which comes across as a little needy and desperate, but I didn't give a shit. What's the worst he could do is ignore me?
Sure.
And finally, at the end of it, I go, you know what? I didn't get you on the show this time. It was a great show. Well worth my time. Sorry for blowing up your feed. To which he liked and retweeted that.
Yeah.
So he was, at the end, he was like, okay, maybe this guy isn't a stalker.
Right.
But... God, I forgot even where we were going with. Oh, yeah. It's just, I wanted to ask him, and like you said, YouTube and all that stuff, and we've even on my show had a guy that has a YouTube channel where he does his own zombie show, is if Kevin Smith was 22, 23 today, where do you think Kevin Smith would have went to start? And I think he's great on podcasts now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, not just him, but guys like Dusty, guys like you and me. I mean, and like I said, I'm old as dirt compared to some of the people that are out there doing this. But, I mean, what a world we're in now where you can just pick up, you have a USB connected mic to a laptop.
Yeah.
And you don't even need that. You don't even need a laptop. You have a digital recorder that holds up to 12 hours of stuff.
You can do it on your phone, man.
Yeah.
Put it right from your phone onto the...
In fact, Kevin Smith once found himself on a Virgin flight with, what's his name? Virgin's president. I can't think. Richard Branson.
Yeah.
And he recorded a 2-hour interview on his iPhone.
Yeah.
And he was like, I always carry this microphone with me wherever I go. I mean, that's a hell of a world. And, you know, I was an art major in college. You guys can't see, and I didn't mean to hit the table, but you can see this bar I built, which is now a studio bar more than it is a bar. There's a lot of comic book pages. I did comic book pages on the front of my file cabinet over there. There's drawing paper of stuff all over that I did. I've just always wanted to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, if there's only one regret I have is I didn't do it sooner. Because I am not the target demographic. I don't have a following, and I'm almost 40. I mean, the guys that are starting podcasts usually that are getting big in their 40s are comedians. We talked about this.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I mean, I think we just crossed 23,000 total downloads. I'm on 30 episodes, you know, so it's dropping a little bit, but that's 23,000 downloads. I mean, I'm living in St. Peter's, Missouri.
Sure.
Who knew?
You know? I mean, I same thing, man. The fact that anybody was listening to my stuff on putting on the internet, like, when there's so much content already out there, like, the fact that somebody clicked play on my show, like, it's flattering. Like, that, you know, it means a lot to me, you know, but it's like, I didn't do it expecting anybody to listen. It was just something I wanted to do, and it's just like it's cool that people are actually listening. So
I wanted to ask you, and I forgot. You have any naysayers?
You know, and that's one. I don't really have. I get very little feedback. So it's like, I don't have any haters. I have people like I have a couple people like consistently will share and help out. But it's like, so I guess I consider them fans. But it's like yeah. I get very little.
We've got one that I know of, and we love it.
Yeah.
But the only disappointing thing about it is that they haven't said anything. Well, but someone took the time, and I thought it was one of my friends, and I wouldn't even fault them if it was, created a Twitter handle called The Rapcast Sucks. And for the first two episodes, I had a different logo. And they took that logo, and they photoshopped a mean face over it.
Yeah.
And it was The Rapcast Sucks on Twitter.
Yeah.
And for the first 6-7 episodes, they would always have a comment about what we talked about. Well, I loved it for two reasons. One, because I figure if you hate me, like, I made the correlation on my show. Nerdist has a million followers or whatever.
Sure.
They have 700 or 75,000. There's a Nerdist Sucks web that is 75,000. So I figure I have 50, 60 followers, have one. That's proportionate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fine with it. But they've kind of fallen off fallen off the path and not really done it. But the other thing that I liked about it is some of the things they were quoting or hating on was in like minute 47 of my vibe.
Sure.
So they were listening.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. You're right. Listening. You downloaded. I win.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, I use the quote a lot because it's awesome. It's just a great quote. But it reminded me all this. Reminded me of Private Parts when we talked.
Right.
We talked about when I was on your show. I'm a huge Stern fan, but there was a scene in Private Parts where Pig Virus, Paul Giamatti,
Vomit,
Vomit.
Yeah.
I think they, yeah.
Do they change it in it?
I don't know. They might call them both, but
yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Not a
brilliant part though.
Yeah,
brilliant
Paul character. Giamatti was great, and that was again. Side note. That was like very early on, like, you know, he wasn't Paul Giamatti then, so
yeah.
Like it was kind of...
He was not Oscar-winning Paul Giamatti,
yeah.
He was just the awkward guy you
right.
threw in the movie.
But there's a line in where he's talking to some marketing people or whatever it was, and they were talking about, like, the average Stern listener listens 3 hours a day or something, you know, and it's like, he's like, well, what about those that hate him? Well, the average Stern hater listens 4 hours a day.
Right.
The most common response is... They want to hear what he's going to say next. And that's a lot, man. Like, even the people that hate you, they're still listening to the show.
Well, and I only think there's one. I like
yeah,
to go to bed
sure.
at night knowing there's one
yeah,
hater. And I respect them for hating me.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's kind of part for me, like a little bit, I don't know, not that I want somebody to hate me, but like I feel like if you're not, if you don't, if you're not doing that, like if you're not putting it out there and somebody's not naysaying, especially with how much people bitch about everything else on the internet.
Right.
If I'm not making that enough an impact where people like have say something, you know, even email me or whatever, not maybe not to devote a Twitter handle to it or whatever, but like I've never really got anything really bad, like besides like, you know, little technical things that I can do better myself, but nobody's really said anything bad, and that's
and but then that's constructive.
Yeah,
I mean, right, if somebody, even if they frame it in a shitty way, like, you know what? Well, your sound quality sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's all you're bitching about, let me fix the sound quality. Yeah. You know, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit too while ago. Like I said, if this person called the Rapcast sucks, is willing to listen to an episode, at least that's an educated hate. At least they're willing to put in the time to develop an opinion. That's different. Like, there's an event in St. Louis coming up, Lou Fest, that we talked about, and you had brought up that you had posted that some people just hate on it. Like, I don't understand that kind of hate, because if it's not bands you like, then just don't go.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that we have a wealth of music acts coming through here, but we get it. We got it pretty good. There's always somebody to pick from. Just don't go to that one.
Yeah.
I can avoid it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's I feel like with Lou Fest, though, like there's it's just a huge wide array of talent on there. So like it's, you know, you got your country, you got your, I mean, it's headlined by Chris Stapleton and Lauryn Hill. Like,
and Chris Stapleton is on a rocket to the top right now.
Yeah, but I mean, he's more country. Lauryn Hill's R&B, and then you got LCD Sound System, which are like you know,
and they're everywhere. They're at Bonnaroo and Coachella and everywhere.
So you got, like, I mean, if that's your headliners, you got all over represented a lot of different stuff, and then everybody fills in underneath. I mean, so I think there's a little something for everybody. It's just people want it to be like, you know, Paul McCartney or whatever, you know, it's like, or something, you know, you want these giant names, and Lou Fest is only like 5 years old or whatever, 6 years or something. So,
and I got to tell you, too, it'd be great to have, like, you had even mentioned Foo Fighters, and I'm a big Foo Fighter fan, and that stemmed from my love for Nirvana when I was younger. But if you're going to, I mean, like we said, Chris Stapleton, he's a big name right now.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't know if people understand that. There was a time where there was no more talented female musician in the world than Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
And that album still stands as one of the top 4 or 5 albums of the 90s.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's definitely people who are very excited about it.
The fact that she's willing to play, and I'm not racist at all, and I don't want to bring it racial, but the fact that Lauryn Hill has some demons, the fact that she's going on tour again and playing in front of big crowds and diverse crowds again, that's a win.
Yeah.
I mean, all we can need is, the world is better with more Lauryn Hill music in the, out there.
Yeah, there was some comments about that they were, you know, how reliable she was going to be,
right?
You know, because there was times where some of her shows didn't start till 4 or 5 hours later or whatever.
The woman's got 112 kids. I mean, what's she going to do? You know?
I'm excited. I bought my ticket. I'm excited to be there, and the bunch of my. Bunch of my favorite locals are actually going to some friends from the show, Bruiser Queen, Elphonics, another Sleepy Rubies, another friend of mine, Emily Wallace and her sister, and they'll be there. Aaron Cam and the One Drop, so it's cool to see some St. Louis locals getting.
If that's not reason enough to go, you know, maybe one of these bands in a few years is headlining a concert somewhere else.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's I just shared the video today. I saw Chris Stapleton. He sold out Firebird a year ago, and then now he's headlining Lou Fest.
Right.
And like, so I mean, like, it's, you know, there's no telling what could happen in a year's time where anybody on this lineup is going to be the next big, you know, star. So, but yeah, that's the people just are afraid to try something new. You know, that's a lot of what it is. But
I mean, that's. You know, the other side of the coin that we talked about a while ago is this world we live in where we can podcast and there's a variety of stuff that's out there. The other side of the coin is there's people that hate it because it is change or it is different or it isn't the norm. And you know what? We're not for those people.
Yeah.
You know,
well, even podcasting, man, I kind of got on late on that. Like, it took me, there was a guy, Jay Larson, who I credit to really kind of giving me the push into it because, He's a comic. I saw him at the Funny Bone, and I enjoy his comedy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, man, check out. I do this podcast. Check it out. And it's the Crab Feast. And he does it every Tuesday with Ryan Sickler, another comic, and they just usually interview a third comic. So it was like, I saw podcasting all the time on iTunes and things. Didn't really know where to start, but it took that guy, one guy saying, hey, give this a shot. And like, that's where I kind of got hooked into it. So, you know, and that led to a bunch of others that I listened to. But, you know, sometimes it takes that push of somebody saying, hey, this is something cool to check out, like, and listen to. And so, I don't know. Hopefully, some people get those friends and stuff. But I just feel like there's so many people that are just afraid to. You know, if it's not on the radio or whatever, it's not for me. I don't know. People are very closed in on a lot of their music. And if it's like, well, if it's not this, then it's got to suck. And it's like, or you know, they're afraid to, you know, hey, this is a little different, but I like it. And
so, yeah. Thank God that the majority of the people in the world don't think if it's not on the radio, I don't want to listen to it. If not, we would never had the NWAs. For me, guys like, well, he's not playing anymore. Like the Childish Gambinos. I'm a big hip hop fan. I'm also a huge rock fan. So, yeah. For instance, once they got on the radio, and I'm not a snob. I liked them less, but I went and saw Kings of Leon like 12 years ago in the Beaumont in Kansas City, and they were amazing. You spoke earlier about Southern rock and stuff, and that's what they were. And then they got more anthem rock and a little less edgy. But, sure. I mean, those guys were never – their first three albums weren't on the radio. It wasn't until Sex on Fire was a hit, which was their third full-length album, but their fourth album to come out. I mean – yeah, thank God a lot of people, there's still people out there. Or, you know, there wouldn't be famous musicians if people didn't just subscribe to everything on the radio.
I mean, all these bands were locals at one time. I thought it was really cool a while back. Somebody started getting some, going viral or whatever. People were sharing it around on Facebook. But it was a picture of Maynard from Tool. And he's on stage, and in the audience right up front is Tom Morello from Rage watching the show, and they're in like tiny little dive bar for like there's only a few people you can see. It's not like a sold out arena. Like,
hell, would that have been like Green Jelly instead of Tool, maybe? I mean that would have been, because that was Maynard's band before,
right? Yeah, I don't know what the particular what he was, who knows what it was, but yeah, he's
awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like those guys all started somewhere, and somebody had to be out there supporting them at the beginning to where they got to where they are now. It's not like they woke up one day and like, okay, let's start selling out arenas. And
right,
so yeah, I mean, it's all hard work, and it's people believing in it in the beginning. So get out and try to find some great locals and believe in it. You know, even if it's podcasting or whatever it is, it's like these things don't grow by themselves. You know, so you mentioned Kevin Smith though, man, and that's something very important to me. Even before you said that though, like listening to your show. And especially you just did one with your family, your wife and daughters.
It's our second Safe for Work edition.
Yeah. So listening to that and everything, like putting all the pieces together, it reminded me a lot of Kevin. Like, so you mentioned seeing him at Helium, but I saw him a year ago at the pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And he...
I was there.
Yeah, and I talk about it a lot because it really impacted me. I thought it was interesting for a guy who's... majority of his career is film. When he opened it up to Q&A, everybody wanted to ask about podcast, which really meant something.
Because the Smodcast Network, I mean, he puts more hours a month into podcasting than he does to making movies.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, but it's what I took away from it when he was talking about recording with his mother a lot and family and friends and all these, and he said something like. To the effect that it's proven that when the mind starts to slip, the memory of someone's voice is one of the first memories to go, and that he so he hopes that then when the time comes that he'll have all these with his mother or if he's gone or whatever, his kids will have his recordings of him and everything. And that, man, that really moved me, and especially I was already a year into podcasting, but it like.
Reinvigorates you.
Yeah, it totally blew my mind, and I was like, man, I can really do so much more with this than just what I'm doing. Like, this medium is powerful. Like, it's these I've only had it once where a guest has passed since recording.
Oh wow!
So I have that, and I shared it in his honor after his death. Something, you know, that we can reflect on a happier time.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's and I always wanted to record with my grandmother after Kevin was saying that, and I kept putting it off, and I kept thinking, man, I got time, you know. It's like, and then I kept putting it off, and she passed a little while back, and I was like, I kind of like haunts me now. It's like, it's not, obviously, shit happens. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I move on, but it's like, I really regret not doing that, because it's something like I really wanted to, you know, capture that moment, even if it was just for me. It never aired it, but it's like, I wanted to have that conversation. And, you know, I after her death, I wrote on Facebook, I reached out to people and I said, hey, you know, if there's something you've been wanting to do that's on your mind or on your heart or whatever, get out and go do it. Like, you know, if it's whatever it is.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. So we're actually using Tough Shit as that one of the kind of the prop and sound buffers. But I mean, you know, I told this story on a recording a few weeks ago or a month back after I saw him at Helium. And speaking of seeing Kevin Smith, the first time I met Kevin Smith was at a Wizard World, which has almost been 14, might be 15 years ago. And when I say I met him, I sat at a table with him for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Because at the time, your VIP tickets, which they've kind of changed it now, it used to be you and 50 other people. For the first 4 years, it was you or 49 other people. It was 50 tickets, first come, first serve. The internet was slower, so you could really get lucky on it. And you bought it. It was $100. And there was 10 to 12 creators of various genres, whether it was movie or whatever. And he was kind of, him and Joss Whedon were the only two, like, movie or TV people that were in the room. But you sat in the room, that you got a 2.5 to 3 hour block in a room with them with snacks. And they all had a table, and it was free for them. You just walked to the table, sat with who you want to talk to. Yeah. That's the first time I met Kevin Smith. Met him a couple times after that at those things. He got more and more popular, so your time with him shrunk and shrunk. But I mentioned on my podcast after that Helium show, and I brought it up to you how I had all this head of steam and, you know, really had I was cock strong, ready to go take on the world and get all these interviews, and I still want to, and I'm still going to. And everybody was really responsive, and, you know, and there was a good week or two where you were like, yeah, we'll do it, it'll be great. And then, like, time goes by, you're like, hey, I'd like to put down a calendar, and they don't respond, and then something happens. And, you know, I think two things happen when that. There's only really two schools of thought that really happen. Is one, you can either look at it and go, well, maybe they listen to it and they don't like it and they don't want to be on it. And that's negativity. It's creeping in. The other is you have to realize that other people have lives too. Mm-hmm. And they're not just sitting around waiting for podcasts. And and two things changed my point of view on that. Made me put in. I wasn't one camp or the other. I just really, you feel those things. And one, I went to Helium, and Kevin's real good at doing what he does. Like, and this is not a criticism, so it's going to sound like, but I've seen him probably 7 times doing an evening with Kevin Smith, and it's almost always the beats are the same.
Sure.
But he has a way of making it a personal experience for everybody. But the overall theme is what you said. It's, hey, man, if you think you've got something to say, then by God, say it. And, you know, just hearing him talk about it, seeing other people stand up and react. And I even raised my hand to ask him my question. And he said, I'll get to your side next. This guy was first. And this dude is a single father that stood up and just broke down in tears saying his relationship with Harley, his daughter, is what keeps him going every day. And it's easy to get depressed when you're a single father of 3 girls and it feels like life's beating you down, and it's Kevin Smith's voice that really amps him up. I couldn't follow that with my question. Sure. I was like, ah, fuck it. That guy can have it.
Yeah.
You know, so. But
I think I remember that, actually, now that you're saying that. Like, I remember my friend Jimmy, what I mentioned, he was there. He actually got to ask a question.
Oh.
So I forget what he asked, but I think it was something to do with, like, Red State or one of the movies, but. It wasn't a lot of questions about the movies, but
he didn't get it. Saw the night that in particular moment. I was the first show of the night. The second show, it was a weeknight, so I know what Kevin Smith's going to do with the last show of the night. I couldn't stay up that late, so sure. I went and saw the first one. So I got him. but with some borders, you know, some so that Kevin Smith kind of reinvigorated me seeing him, which he always does. I mean, if I'm in a lull, I can throw on one of the original Jersey trilogy and just it puts me in a good spot. Reminds me of a time when I felt like the entire world was in front of me. It kind of makes you feel that way again. The other thing was is there's a comic creator that works for Marvel and Image, and he's one of the biggest comic writers in the country right now in the world because he works for Marvel. He lives in St. Louis, and he was one of the first. Like I told you about, Steve is a guy I want on the show. This guy Colin Bunn is another guy I really want on the show, and he was one of the first people I emailed, and he was like, "I'm down." And then I didn't hear from him again. But I went to that Kevin Smith show, and I felt real good about it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to send Colin Bunn another email. And I sent him one, and again, 2-3 weeks went by. Then he finally emailed me a month later, and he goes, "Hey, I apologize, but the first quarter of the year," and he's right, because I used to own a comic book store. He goes, "It's filled with conventions. I want to do it. I love, you know, the idea. I love the thought that you're going to try to find more than just... You know, you're looking for all the creativity that you can in our area, and I'd love to come on it."
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, and I might not get him on for another 2-3 months, but it really gets rid of the myth or the thought, the negative thought in your head that, ah, man, maybe they just don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not the case. I mean, hell, if I ever ask somebody to come on my show and they listen to it and say, "Hey, man, I listen to your show, I'm just not that into it." Well, thanks for giving me the time.
Right.
I don't give a shit. If you don't want to be on my show, don't be on my show.
Sure.
But if you're busy, and because, you know, there's a reason we like these people, because they're out doing stuff.
Yeah.
I can't fault anybody for that. I'll get them. And in the meantime, I'll get better at what I do, so when I do get them, it'll be more worth it.
Yeah.
So.
Man, I can't think of where the... Who said it? But I listened to a ton of podcasts and everything. Anyway, Stern, like I said, so there's a lot of times stories kind of get jumbled. But anyway, somebody was saying a little while back about how, you know, the whole thing's happened for a reason. Like they were talking about like pursuing guests and you know, and getting frustrated. But then it's like all of a sudden it happens and it was awesome, and like, you know, that's kind of how I've gone into that mentality. Like, I get frustrated. Like, there's still, you know, doing it 2 years, still people I've been trying to get on the show since the beginning. And, you know, they kind of, I do kind of get down on myself. I feel like I'm getting, like, blown off or whatever. But then it's like, but then, of course, you know, something will happen, like, where, okay, we got the album now, or the album's done, or whatever, a big show, or something like that. Well, that's when the promotion's right and things. So it all kind of, the stars kind of align. And,
yeah.
So yeah, I would never give up on it. I feel like, you know, always again, you know, it's kind of cliche, but I think things happen for at the right time for the reasons.
And you know, we touched on this on mine, I believe. I think the mics were hot at the time. I mean, whether it's just locally or whatever, we're putting ourselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to take things personally or get offended when you put yourself out there.
Yeah,
but I mean, if I wasn't a big boy, if I wasn't willing to deal with that, I wouldn't do it.
Sure.
But that said, you know, you still do. It's still hard not to think about it. And it is good to have the Kevin Smiths of the world, have the story you told about what Devin Allman said to you.
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, hey, you got to find your inspiration somewhere. It came from somewhere.
Sure.
I mean, hold on to it. That's why when that kid stood up and talked about, you know, his daughters and Kevin Smith. I mean, it moved me enough to where, shit, I don't want to talk now because that guy hit a home run with his. You can't follow Babe Ruth. There's no one on base now, you know. You know, and like I said, not just Kevin Smith. I'm a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, massive Quentin Tarantino fan. Like I said, Zane Lamprey, he's a guy that used to have this, he's the ambassador for booze to the world. I don't know if that's self-proclaimed or not, but he's wrote a book called Three Sheets. He had a TV show called Three Sheets. He had a show called Drinking Made Easy. And essentially, he came to St. Louis and did and toured some places like Schlafly and Anheuser-Busch here. Essentially, what he got famous for was going to towns in America and going to the drinking scene and getting interviews with people. And it was on HDTV, which is now Axis. They kind of dropped it when they went to the all-live format. Then he did his own show, Chug, which he kickstarted. I followed. I got the DVD, the Blu-ray, where he decided to do the same thing, only around the entire world. And now he has a YouTube channel. He still has his website, From Drinking Made Easy. And he's had a show on Nat Geo, and he's got some other things coming out. He had a podcast and stuff, but he's a source of inspiration because he cracks me up. One, he does, you know, he's got two things there in my wheelhouse. He loves comedy, he does comedy, and he's a big drinker. And not that, say, you need to be an alcoholic or anything, but he loves the art that comes with craft beer, yeah, with mixology. Well, I just, on a whim, before I went on this vacation, my family and I just went on vacation, which we reviewed on our Safe for Work edition. We talked to my daughters have YouTube channels. They love them. They do them. Now, we don't have as much as I want them on there because and the fact that my daughters are putting content out and being creative, yeah, makes me so happy.
Sure.
Like, I'm on board. Whatever. I don't want the world to ever take advantage of them because, you know, it's still at my heart. I'm dad and I'll be furious. But you know what? What better way to learn to put yourself out there than when before you're even a teenager? Because it's only going to get worse in life.
Yeah.
Your insecurities are only going to get worse. So you might as well get used to dealing with them now. But so I was like, you know, I'm going to email Zane Lamprey. He's also owns a company called Monkey Rum. So he has his own line of rum out there. And because we're going on vacation, what if we decide we want to film some of the stuff? We ended up not doing it just because of the cost and stuff. But I'm like, I wonder what he uses to film his YouTube channel, which is Zane's World. So I said, hey, Zane, big fan. A couple of questions. Before I get to that, I just want to say I've got a podcast. We're at like 26, 27 episodes at the time. And I would love, I just want you to know that you're a huge inspiration. And if Monkey Rum ever brings you to St. Louis, I would love to have you on my show. And I said, I realize that's an outside chance. You've already done Chicago. You've made that tour through there. But if it ever does, or if you ever find yourself in the Midwest again, I would find a way to roll out one of our breweries and sit down with you for an interview. Blew past that, asked him the questions. I asked him what he uses to film his show on, whether he used a GoPro or what he used to edit his shows and stuff, which I kind of knew, but I wanted a reason to email him. And I was blown away. 15 minutes after I sent the email, he sent one back. He goes, hey, I don't know when I'll ever come back to St. Louis, but I enjoyed being there. If I'm ever there, you've got a deal. You can send me this email when you find out and remind me. I'll do your show.
Yeah.
And then he told me, answered all my questions and stuff. Nice. So I'm like, you know, again, that may never happen. But if it does, if I had not emailed him,
yeah,
there's no way it would happen.
Sure. Yeah, I'm definitely in that mindset as well. I do, when I'm booking, if there's somebody I'm interested in, you know, nationally coming through or whatever, I'll shoot an email. And, you know, I figure worst case, they can say no. And, like, you know, there's been times where you just don't get a response or something like that, or sometimes they'll be like, oh, not this time, or kind of that kind of deal, whatever it is. But you know, at least you're getting they're gonna remember the name hopefully next time.
What's it hurt?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Took me 30 seconds on my phone to
neither shut. Life is altered.
Yeah,
by the no.
Right.
So who gives a shit?
I just keep trying, and you know, maybe next time's right or whatever it is. But yeah, man, it's that's awesome though that he wrote back and that's. You know, I mean, it blew my mind the other day. I was thinking about that, like how that simple interaction, like that,
yeah,
the fact that you can pull out your phone and you can get on Twitter or, you know, Facebook or email or whatever it is, and you can write somebody that you admire like that and get an immediate response sometimes. You know, like I was thinking about, like, when I was younger, I remember buying, like, these books about, like, and you would always have to, like, handwrite a letter to their fan clubs and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, it's like now you can do that nearly instantaneously through Twitter. You can say, hey, you know, I like this or whatever, and they can be like, hey, thanks. You know, so it just.
I get a thrill to this day when Schlafly retweets one of my beer check-ins,
yeah,
and Untapped. You know,
right.
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm not a religious person. I don't even buy into much spirituality and things like that. But I am I'm a humanist, and I do believe in very power of positive reinforcement. And I believe, man, there's a lot of energy in getting that small bit of affirmation from someone you respect or something, sure, you like. I mean, shit, that could change the whole complexion of a day.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, if you know,
it's little things.
Yeah, what if, I mean, and what if someone, I know this is an extreme version of it, but, you know, what if someone's toyed with the idea of suicide in their life, mm-hmm. and they're just reach out to their Kevin Smith or their yeah. Zane Lamprey or, you know, and inside a day that person retweets, might change their whole life.
Sure.
That person yeah. might go on to be a doctor or might go on to do something. Yeah. Who knows? But shit, man, that's worth it. Like I said, I'm not claiming that my podcast will ever do that for anybody.
Right.
But I've had some friends say, you know, I got a friend in Baltimore says, I really like it because I haven't seen you in so long. It makes me feel like you're right there with me.
Yeah.
He goes, I think I'm going to start it. My buddy up the road, Scott, he said he's going to start a podcast. Pretty positive reinforcement. I've done yeah. something for someone.
Sure.
So
man. Yeah. Man, I you ever heard of Matt Kennan, singer-songwriter? More country stuff, but...
Not completely in my wheelhouse. Yeah. I respect it, and I do the stuff I like a lot. Sure. I just don't jump into the... It's one of those things where not if it's not on the radio, it's harder for me to hear, yeah. you know?
Well, well, he had a little bit of radio play, and that's where I actually first discovered his stuff, was he was doing... we kind of talked about it on your show. It was XM and Sirius XM.
Okay.
And he was doing a Highway Hang Time, and that's where I first discovered his stuff, and they played a song called The Call. And immediately that song, like, changed my life. You know, it was like, I heard those lyrics, and I was like, man, that's some powerful shit right there. Like, and since then, I found out that he lives in Eureka, Missouri now. He's been living up
there. Holy cow.
And we've become friendly over the years since that one day. So I've gone to his shows. I actually worked merch for him at a show and things. You know, so we've had contact and stuff. And finally, I said, hey, man, why don't we, you know, you should come on the show. So I got him on the show. He did a little bit of The Call. He did a couple, you know, we kind of did like snippets of some songs. And but anyway, in The Call, there's one of the lines is in the, it's all the video is very powerful to go with it. But there's a guy and he's kind of like sitting in his truck and he's got a gun and he's thinking, you know, the whole thing, thinking about it. And he's like, and somebody calling like, hey man, what are you doing this weekend? I was seeing if you want to go to the lake. There's this girl that you like that she wants to know if you're going to be there and stuff. And just like, and all this. And he's like, I'm so glad you called. And like, so that moment, that phone call, that whatever, you know, that's the, in this case, but you know, it could be the podcast, could be whatever it is, but that single call, you know, in the song made that difference in that guy's life where he's like, you know, maybe shit ain't that bad. Like, and
right.
So
here's the thing. It's never that bad.
Yeah.
And I know we kind of got off on a little darker tangent there, it's never that bad, but whatever it is, the call, that's an awesome, awesome. I mean, but whatever it is, man, whatever, if you need some, whatever, everyone has something that gets them going.
Sure.
Whatever that is, do it. Explore it. If you think, man, I haven't had a great week, and playing checkers was something that you enjoyed, go to a park and find some old guy and play checkers. Yeah. Do whatever it takes. Just do it.
Sure.
I mean, why wallow in self-pity or why wallow in, in morose attitudes? Just, there's a lot of shit in this world that to bring you down. But I got to tell you what, there's an equal amount of shit that can build you up, you know?
I love music. Obviously, anybody that's been following the show, it's all this show's about. And music and comedy and interesting people. And I, you know, there's a lot of nights where I'm like, hey, anybody want to go to a show with me? And nobody answers. And I'm like, well, screw it. I'm going to go by myself because I still want to have a good time.
Right.
So it's like, I'll go meet new friends and stuff. And like, so I'll go to these shows and I start up a conversation and I've met so many cool people that way. And it's like, because we already have a similar interest. We're here to see the same person.
Yeah.
So we start talking and I end up seeing him at the next show and that stuff, you know, and it's like, and so on. And like, you realize like, you know, obviously once you've had that connection, like you start realizing, oh yeah, there are a lot of my favorite shows that I could, because we like the same music. So,
yeah.
You know, it's things like that. So it's like, you know, I don't ever let somebody else affect my good time. You know, I
always tell my wife, she's had some of this experience with her and some friends and stuff, her lifelong friends. And I've had this motto for a while, and some of my friends will listen to this and they'll back me on this. And if you, in terms of letting other people affect your good time, if you have a friend, whether they're a good friend or not, if you have to twist their arm to have fun, You don't need them having fun with you that night. Go do have fun. Go to anybody that you have to bash over the head and drag to having a good time. Right. They're only going to make your time less fun.
Yeah.
You find the people, like you said, if nobody wants to go, piss on it. I'll go.
Sure.
I'll meet someone, and the next time, that person will be there and have fun with me. I mean, why not?
Sure.
I mean, like I said, I make the joke quite a bit on how much older I am than John and them, and I say I'm old as dirt, and I'm almost 40. I'm a year and a half away from 40.
Right.
But I'm way too old to give a shit about whether or not someone else is having a good time.
Right.
I mean, I got three people in my life that I care. My wife and my two daughters. If they're not having fun, I'll find a way to make them have fun. But there's going to be a point where my daughters are old enough, and I'm going to say, you know what? Piss on you, too. If you don't want to have fun, if I didn't teach you enough to have fun at this point, you didn't get what you needed to out of my whatever sermons I preached to you. So.
Let's refocus. I mean, this has been incredible, but I want to. There's a couple of things I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Back to about the podcasting and stuff.
Oh, I have a podcast. I totally forgot.
Right. I mean, we're just having a good time here, so the Random Ass Podcast. Mm-hmm. I think we might have touched on a little bit, but was it? What was the initial really, hey, I need to grab a mic and do this?
Kind of like you. I just like podcasts. Yeah. And at no point did I ever tell anybody or myself, you know, you've got something to say. What I did was, I want to say something. And I found the one. I've got a couple of guys that I really, really would have loved to have on here. Some of my best friends, and they didn't live close. One, John Bender, who was, you know, in here earlier with us, he's one of my good friends, and he kind of, I give him a hard time about being a closet geek, and at the time he kind of was. He's gotten more, he's more in touch with his geeky side, kind of like his feminine side now than he used to be.
Yeah.
I got him back into comics just by having comics, and I thought, you know, he's articulate, he's smart, he'd be good to have on there. And so I asked him to do it, and the only reason I asked him to do it is because I didn't know where it was going to go, and I knew I didn't want to stand and talk to Mike by myself for an hour. I wanted to have someone to talk to.
Sure.
I was worried. My wife has a little bit of social anxiety. She doesn't like being stared at by a lot of people. I didn't know how the podcast would be with her, but she's learned to be very outgoing on the mic. She's done a few episodes with me, and I get great reviews from when she's on there. So, that was it. I just thought, I love so much stuff. We kind of avoid it. I love sports. You might hear it on UFC talk sometimes because I do like martial arts because I love the art in martial arts. I love the respect and stuff. Now, there's some people out there that are, you know, suck and are assholes. But we talk about that maybe more, and that's more the fact that I think that's right now there's a lot of people that know about it or can talk about it, but I love football, played it for a long time. I love baseball. But in my head when I did it, I want to do all of it. Originally, my concept was we're going to do a six-pack, and every week it's going to be like sports, comics, movies, TV, or something, you know, and then like a miscellaneous.
Yeah.
And then that changed to be like, you know, let's just talk whatever's going on in the world. And sometimes that doesn't even happen.
Right.
So I just wanted a forum to talk about stuff we liked, get like friends involved that force a reason to see talk to some friends more often, and then eventually, and what we kind of started now, is talk to other people that do really cool shit out there. And that was it. That's what we want to do. My wife bought me the Behringer's starter set for my birthday or something, and she's like, hey, I got you this, and that was in October. It was our first, and we recorded like a week later.
Yeah.
And we started out as every 2 weeks, and then I was like, you know, I could do this. Whether John can do it or not, I can do every week. And now we do every week. I released it on Sunday, but I consider it Monday's episode. And then like you on here, or when I do have an interview, I try to release that on Wednesdays. If it's a midweek episode, a special episode, that's a Wednesday. And, you know, we've done one special event where we recorded an all-day podcast. We're going to do that again here soon. Again, with our drinking theme, breweries have session beers. Yeah. The idea of a session beer is a little lower in alcohol and you can drink it over a long session. So we're going to see if that works out. We're going to do a long recording with a bunch of different guests. we're going to start setting up at comic book conventions because, I mean, you know, what better way to meet interesting people? And like we've talked about earlier, people that don't otherwise wouldn't normally get out there to the world. We're going to give them an outlet.
Sure.
We're going to figure it out. You know, I don't know what will help. I don't know what we'll accomplish, but we're going to do it. I'm going to get more people on. I don't know where we're going, but, you know, if 5 years from now, if I'm still doing it, then I did something right.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. I mean, yeah, just having fun with it. I have my passions in music and comedy, like I said. I don't know where the show is going to take me or what I'm doing even. I'm still learning as I'm going, but I'm having a damn good time doing it, and that's all that matters. Like, you know, I'm going
to. And when it does get to be somewhere, I guarantee you'll be there with it.
Yeah.
You know?
And if I get, you know, if there's ever a day I wake up and I'm not having fun, then that's it. You know, I'll hang it up on them. But
maybe someone that was listening to you says, hey, I would love to take over for you.
Yeah, sure. You know, who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. But I don't see that day coming anytime soon. But I'm like I said, this is something I really look forward to every week. You know, getting these interviews, getting to hang out and talk about all kinds of random topics. And it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, if we kind of touched on it earlier, but anybody that's thinking about podcasting, go out and do it. And it's like, that's what Kevin Smith said too, is like, he's like, it's unedited and uncensored and unfiltered and stuff, you know, and it's relatively inexpensive. You don't need much at all to get going, and you can, you know, get out there and do it while you can.
Your biggest hang up is thinking about it.
Yeah,
just do it.
All right,
just go do it
until somebody tells you they can't.
Worry about the repercussions later, you know.
Yeah man. So Do you have a goal or anything right closing out the rest of 2016 and stuff?
My goal is to talk to the local people that I've really, like I said, I really want to talk to Steve Ewing because my wife's got to set in on that because she loves Steve Ewing. I want to talk to Colin Bunn. You know, there's some other guys I want. Eventually, I want to get some of my very good friends on. I have a friend in Springfield, Josh Roberts, couple years ago Playboy magazine named the top 10 comic book stores in the country, and his was one of them.
Nice.
You know, and that's, you know, people that'll know him will love it.
Yeah.
And he's done a couple of podcasts with some guys that I've had on, the Geekaholics, and I've been on theirs. But I've known Josh for so long, and we bring out a different side of people. Might not even want his store patrons to listen to it, you know. But you know, 2016, the goal is to get through it, to get to that October, that 1 year mark, you're on your 2 year mark. Goal is to get to that 1 year mark, and we'll see what we've done and see where we're going. You know, is there a goal? Yes, to put out, you know, more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing on average 4 a month. I'd like to get that up to 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And I don't need more than that. I don't want less, you know. I want a minimum 4. So that's my goal.
Sure. Yeah. I was listening to mention Nerdist, and I was listening today actually to Mackie from the Avengers and all that.
Yeah. If you wouldn't have asked it, I would have told you right now, but
it starts with A.
We'll have to look, we'll get it in post production.
Whatever his name is. Anyway, he was on there, and he was obviously talking about Captain America, Civil mm-hmm. War, and stuff. But right before all that, they do the Nerdist Corkboard.
I've emailed it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I shot him one about this birthday party. That's about it. I might follow up again, and now that it's closer, and try it again. But gave me a little bit of hope because on that particular episode, they mentioned a comic book place in I can't remember the name of the town, but it was sort of like a P or something, and it was like,
oh, the coffee place, is that what you're talking about, in Missouri?
It was a comic book place in like an old building, and like there was like a couple different rooms or something like that, and they were kind of, it was like an hour and a half from St. Louis, they said, or something. So
yeah, their big shtick is it's a coffee/comic book place. Yeah. John and I, in fact, we reached out, we want to go do a podcast there from them, because I mean, they got on there, and they are, and I wish I had more details now, too, because it's not a far drive. Fingers crossed, maybe we'll get the next Missouri plug.
Sure. You know? But yeah, I mean, that was like, it was kind of exciting that they actually mentioned a local comic book store in Missouri that, you know, and so I was like, man, that's cool. Like, it gives me hope that maybe they'll mention Rock Paper Podcast on there someday. So, but yeah, it was cool, man. Like, I think, but, you know, tying it all together there with your friend down in Springfield and stuff, maybe. But, yeah, so, I mean, so it's like movies, comics, and...
We're random ass, man. Yeah, we talk about everything. Right. You know, we have some idiosyncrasies and quirks that we try to adhere to. Like, we have, you know, we have the Kanye rule on my show. One thing we try to avoid is talking about Kanye West because the first 6-7 episodes, he was on every topical six-pack.
Yeah.
And like I said, what we usually do, we do our intro, we do a little shoot-the-shit segment of news and notes, and then we jump into the topical six-packs, and that's a six-pack of topics that are relevant or have some connection to what's going on in the world of pop culture. We try to avoid politics. It's going to be hard coming up here soon.
Yeah.
Especially since you have such a large pop culture figure involved in politics. But, yeah, so we avoid the... We always tell people, if you're listening at home, not while you're driving, maybe if you're listening to work, depending on where you work, you hear us mention Kanye, you kill your drink. We can't remember Mackie's first name. We call that missing a layup. And so you got to drink till we hit the layup. So if somebody looks it up, you got to find, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people say, you know, find out what you're going to do, find your audience and go for it. You know, and that's great. That's probably the best advice. If we probably focused on something, maybe it might get a little more. I don't want to. I mean, who cares about focusing on something? I'd rather sit around and talk about everything.
Yeah.
As long as it fits in that hour. We do go a little long sometimes lately. But we try to stay close to an hour as possible.
Sure.
I mean, just because, you know, be respectful of the guys involved and the people listening. Like, you know, your average commute's 30 minutes. That's, you can listen to it halfway to work and halfway home.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got an episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think hour's a good mark. I feel like it's a good runtime for shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been doing since the beginning.
We all can't be Howard Stern,
yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah, and like I said, again, we all, our guests are all real people with real jobs, real wives, kids, husbands, you know, whatever, you know, and we all have our own personal stuff too. So
that's
why I like to try to take the show on the road as much as I do, just because it make it one less thing I got to tackle. So like, if I can go to the wherever they're comfortable in their own surroundings and things, it makes one, I feel like it cuts down any of that trying to figure out how to get the band to my house or whatever else. And
we found, and I can't speak for Tom and John, but I got a feeling that they would agree with this. We've done an episode at the Improv Shop. We did an episode at Shamrock's, a local bar and grill.
Yeah.
And we found that those remotes, man, there's so much more energy involved in that. It gets you really... I mean, it feels like you're doing something. It breaks up the norm of this.
Yeah.
And these stools aren't that comfortable. So getting out of it, and that's, you know, like we mentioned Johnny Applecast, and he's kind of taking a lull away. I felt like, and I told him, I feel like you got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel like if you get out of your house, you're gonna get to where you want to go faster. And I think that's the key for us. You know, you ask what we want to accomplish. We want to go places and do things.
I totally echo that too. Like, I went to Taco Bell with my friend Bobby J. Cox, and that just, I mean, obviously he's a comic. He's an improv guy. We mentioned the Improv Shop. He's done a bunch of stuff up there too. But so he works well in that situation, you know, and like...
That's a lot of material.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, we sat there and like, well, when we sat down, like somebody left right away. So like it wasn't, but there was like four girls working the, you know, restaurant there, and they're all on headsets talking to each other and just start cracking up. And me and Bobby are over there recording. We're like, what the hell is that? You know, like, and they all like took off and ran into the bathroom laughing and like... So they all came back out of the bathroom, and Bobby's like, hey, come over here, you know, like, so we get them on the show and start talking, and Bobby's like, yeah, hey, we're recording over here at the Taco Bell, and they're like, no, and it's like, yeah, I was like, yeah, corporate's a big listener, you know, Taco Bell's a big listener to Rocker Podcast.
They won't sponsor you now.
Yeah, right, yeah, But it's like, you know, that moment would have never existed if we hadn't been out there at Taco Bell, and if Bobby hadn't, you know, had the guts to say, you know, hey, come over here. It's like it's just that live element. You never know what's going to happen. It's that energy, and it's exciting. So I love being mobile and being out there and doing all these live spots, and it's also part of the challenge too, like to see where I can be able to pull it off. Like, it might not be the best sound quality always, but I'm gonna have a damn good time doing it. Like,
well, so. You love music. You don't always get the best sound quality of your favorite musicians,
right?
But there is nothing better than seeing it live.
Sure.
There's nothing better being on that location.
Yeah, man. So I agree. I think if you guys get out there and do some more lives in different places, I think it'd be fun. Even if you can somehow get like Schlafly or Four Hands or whatever, some of the breweries on board.
We're working on it. Especially I know Friendly's is about to open up in Wentzville, and we've got a little bit of an in with those guys, so we're going to try to do that. I actually Standard, which is a place off in Maryland Heights, they the owner of that used to have its own, you know, do-it-yourself, kind of like a do-it-yourself pottery place of brewing. Now he owns that, and I've got a buddy that's good friends with him. And I don't want to say their name because we don't have it committed yet, but there's a bar in North County that is about to start brewing. And Bender goes there a lot. And he said, hey, would you guys do it? So they're like, yeah, we'd love to do it. We'd love to get the brewer to set down. So.
Sure.
And it's not just beer, but that's an, I mean, you know, talking over hoisting a beer is a pretty easy thing
sure,
to do.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of my shows are the artists are having beers or other things.
It loosens things up, that's for sure. But that just happens to be one of the things we like. And like I mentioned, comic books. I mentioned to you, I don't think we were on air when we talked about it. There's some independent pro wrestling things. And as a kid, I idolized wrestlers.
Sure.
So I'd like to talk to that. So, like you said, we're random. So I want random people to be talked to.
Yeah, man. I think that's awesome. I mean, that's what it's about. Little variety in life. You know, so well, check out the Random Ass Podcast at therapcast.com, iTunes and Stitcher and Google.
Now easier to find. I change it to, it used to be the Random A **. Now it's the R.A.P.
Yeah,
the Rap.
Yeah.
Easy to find now.
Right.
It used to be real difficult.
Yeah.
So
that is something very important too. To be Googleable, you know, like
I just released an episode. We were one of the few I recorded ahead of time. Studio's falling apart. One I recorded ahead of time, and my buddy that runs my website says you know, for your blog on your website, you want to have at least 300 words. And you want to mention the word podcast 5 times, and I've forgotten what we talked about with me and Tom. So I did about 150 words, and then I just said podcast another 150 times, and it said hopefully this works, and that was it. That was my blog.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciate it. I'm glad you had me on. I'm glad you came on my show.
Yeah, man. It was a thrill, man. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm glad this finally worked out. We kind of been talking for a little while, getting to know each other through the internet, and now we're
thank God for the internet.
Yeah, now it's official. So, So again, if you missed my appearance on the Rap, go check that out.
Your loss.
Yeah, and then of course subscribe so you can get all the new episodes.
But that's the biggest thing we come across. We have a lot of people tell us they love it,
yeah,
but they don't comment or share it.
Yeah,
so do that.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Yeah, if you like it, if you laughed, if you whatever, if you thought it was interesting, click the share button. It don't hurt you. So
10 seconds out of your day.
Yeah. So, but yeah, thanks, Jeremy. This has been a lot of fun, man.
I'm down, man. Anytime.
So I'll see you around, man.
Let's call it good.
Yep.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.